Srila Prabhupada wrote this on the Jalakita before arriving in America on his first journey to the West on the order of his spiritual master. And this poem with Prabhupada's authorization was given a melody, and devotees, I remember when I first heard this, it's in the 1970s, I can't remember what year, a devotee now, his name was Jai Sachi Nandandas. Prabhupada said he was a Western devotee. Prabhupada said he was a Bengali in his last life.
You see that from his pronunciation too.
Yes. So he asked Prabhupada if it's okay to put this to a melody. And then it was recorded. The devotees used to listen to it a lot. And I know I do. Not just for the melody, obviously for Prabhupada's feelings of compassion, which are so distinctly expressed here in this poem. We obviously know the history about Prabhupada's instructions and his feelings of helplessness and dependence, complete dependence for impregnating Krishna consciousness in the hearts of the people in the West. He didn't know what to expect, and this song clearly describes what were Prabhupada's thoughts while on passage in the Jaladuta before landing in America. I'm not sure, I think the devotees, they chant this also for the festival in Boston. I haven't been to one yet. But having the Prabhupada arrival festival in Boston, I don't know how many years, but it's always the same time as the Ukraine festival. So I'm always in Ukraine at that time of the year, but I'm pretty sure that if it's not sung, it's at least read. Again, to capture Prabhupada's mood. Any devotee who's been given an order for, not only given the order, but who's taken up Lord Chaitanya's order. Lord Chaitanya's order, as Prabhupada would so oftentimes quote, Yari Dekatari Kata Krishna Upadesh Amara Gai Gunhan Tari Desh. He was always emphasizing that Lord Chaitanya has given this order to everyone to preach Krishna consciousness and to give Krishna consciousness to others. And to feel compassion, jividoy, feel compassion for the sufferings of others. The other night in Boston, we were speaking a little bit about what is compassion. And compassion, we oftentimes say, we offer our obeisances to devotees of the Lord who lack wish-fulfilling desires, and they are always full of compassion for the fallen, suffering souls. compassion means is that if one sees others suffering, then he, padadukaduki, as Prabhupada would oftentimes describe, the characteristic of a Vaishnava, is that if he sees others suffering, then the suffering he feels is what he sees in others. For the Vaishnava is one who's always fully dependent upon Krishna, and the suffering is always minimized by the grace of the Lord. And even sometimes, as described in Chaitanya Bhagavata, even if we may see a Vaishnava suffering, we should know that it's not really suffering, it's just appears that way to be suffering. But there's a verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Marashriya Kata Mishta Shinvanti Kata Yanti Cha Tapanti Dvividhasta Padhaita Mangachatetasa. Those Vaishnavas, those devotees who are engaged constantly in hearing and chanting about me, they do not suffer from material miseries because they are always filled with my thoughts and my activities and my pastimes in this world. So Vaishnava, he accepts any reversals, any apparent suffering in his life as an opportunity to remember the Lord. And it deepens his attachment to the Lord. It deepens his affection. And as we gave an example last night, we were speaking about Mangabhadha, how it increased even his gratitude. Because certainly those who are Vaishnavas, when they're put in difficult situations, they remember the Lord. May Kunti, she prayers, let those calamities happen to me again and again, so that we can see you again. For seeing you means we no longer have to see birth and death in this material world. This is how Queen Kunti is praying to Krishna. She's praying, we may not be so advanced to pray for calamities. Queen Kunti, she demonstrated that when the difficulties are there, I remember you. And Tatenu kampam su samikshamano bhujane vata kritam vakam hidvaga papu vipa.
Vipaka papu bia. Papu.
Yes. One who seeks your compassion and thus tolerates all kinds of adverse conditions due to the karma of his past misdeeds, who always offers his obeisances to you and always glorifies you with his body, mind, and words, he certainly becomes a bona fide candidate for liberation. This is how Vaishnava feels. Sees that any suffering, any calamities, any difficulties that come, sees that there's an opportunity to remember the Lord and deepen his attachment and dependence upon the Lord. And he never blames the Lord for his sufferings, but he understands that whatever suffering that comes my way is simply due to my past misdeeds, and therefore let me accept them. Let me accept them, but let me always remember you. So, a Vaishnava who thinks in this way and tolerates all kinds of inconvenience and difficulties and never blames others. In fact, I always quote the verse, another nice verse, which describes the characteristics. Taraskrita vipalabdha chattakshita hatahapi nasitatpatu kurvanti tadbhakta kavayopihi. That devotees of the Lord are so forbearing that even if they are cheated, cursed, insulted, neglected, disturbed, or even killed, they're never inclined to avenge themselves. That's a characteristic of Vaishnava. He sees, because he's so fully dependent on Krishna, he thinks that anything that happens to me, I should not blame others to be the perpetrator of my suffering. He thinks that it is due to my own past misdeeds that I'm suffering now. Let me accept that, because there's always going to be some inconvenience in this world. Let me accept it as the will of the arrangement of the Lord. And by his meditation in this way, the Lord helps that devotee from within. It helps that devotee, and he actually, although physically there may be suffering, but his mind is peaceful because he sees Krishna. And wherever there is remembrance of Krishna, Bhajahure Manashi Nanda Nandana Abhaya Chavanara Vindare, My dear mind, please meditate upon the divine son of Nanda Maharaj, because by meditation upon him, one becomes fearless. A devotee can be fearless in the face of adversity because he sees that Krishna, I'm always under Krishna's protection. It may look, well, sometimes people ask, how is it we see Vaishnavas dying, Vaishnavas getting sick, diseased? How can we understand that Krishna is protecting under these circumstances? But actually, real protection means that the ability to remember Krishna in all circumstances. That is real protection. In this endeavor, there's no loss or diminution, and a little advancement in this path protects one from the most dangerous type of fear. And what is the most dangerous type of fear? To forget Krishna. That is most dangerous. And this material world is always a place of upheavals and calamities. And therefore, Vaishnava is always praying to the Lord, let me remember you constantly. Let me never forget you. Let me simply serve you with my body, mind, and words. We see that such Vaishnavas, as the Srila Prabhupada, which we're talking about, his compassion and his feelings of devotion and the difficulties he underwent. He suffered 2 heart attacks on the Jaladuta on his way to America. Someone may suffer 2 heart attacks. They may think as soon as I get to America, I should get to a hospital, have electrocardiogram done, immediately get everything checked up, make sure I'm up. Prabhupada didn't do that. Had 2 heart attacks in the Jaladuta, but what did he do when he got to America? He just simply began the mission that was given to him by his spiritual master. So we may say, how Prabhupada suffered 2 heart attacks? But the devotee just sees that there's no obstacles in devotional service. There are no obstacles. The physical body is always going to be a source of distress. But a devotee, matra spashas tu kontaya sitoshna sukadukada, agamapayino nichas tangs atiksha subharata. He knows that the non-permanent appearance of happiness and distress and their disappearance in due course are like the appearance and disappearance of the winter and summer seasons. They arise from sense perception, and one has to tolerate them without being disturbed. I remember this was the very first verse I learned. Very first verse. When I learned it on the streets of Providence, Rhode Island, the same day that I was sent out to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books, it's the day I shaved my head. I moved into the temple. And then when I moved into the temple president had a strict policy that anybody who moved into the temple had to sleep in the basement on the concrete floor to show that they were sincere. So I slept in the basement for quite some time. I can't remember, it was a few weeks. And then when I was finally allowed to come upstairs, I asked them, can I shave my head? And they said, no, don't move so quickly. And then finally the day when they shaved my head, I said, and my head was all shaved, and I had very long hair. And there was no such thing as electric buzzers in those days. The temple couldn't afford something like that. That was opulence. It was just one of those hand clippers. So the hand clippers and then a razor, and it looked like it had been in the battlefield by the time we finished the razor. I came out, came downstairs, and they said, here's your book bag. They took me out, they drove me to Providence, Rhode Island. They dropped me off in the middle of the street in downtown Providence, Rhode Island, with a Boston Globe newspaper bag with some reservoir of pleasures, and here I was looking like I don't know what I looked like. My head was still cut in places, approaching people. So I decided to learn this verse, Matras Pashas, to go to the Sikoshna Sukadukada. It's my first verse. So I spent a little time sitting down memorizing that verse, and then I stood up again and tried to approach people. But it's non-permanent appearance of happiness and distress, and a disappearance in due course, of like the appearance and disappearance of the winter and summer seasons. They arise from sense perception, and one has to learn to tolerate them without being disturbed. So, anyways, as we were saying, there'll always be difficulties, and but to the degree that we can remember Krishna and accept Krishna's will, just like it was explained with a nice example in the Dharma the Bull. Srimad Bhagavatam was beaten by personality of Kali. When Pariksit Maharaj came to Dharma and asked, who has perpetrated this suffering upon you? Three of Dharma's legs had been broken by Kali, the personality of Kali. Dharma's response was, how can I recognize or point to the perpetrator of my suffering? Because nothing can happen without the will of the Lord. Therefore, if I point to the perpetrator of my suffering, I'm just as much as guilty as the perpetrator himself. So Dharma would not declare to Pariksit Maharaj, who is the protector of religious principles, which is the responsibility of the king, he would not declare to Pariksit Maharaj who caused this suffering upon him. But Pariksit Maharaj can really understand, because he's the protector of religious principles, that you must be religiosity personified. And he understood that it was his responsibility to find that person who was responsible for causing the suffering. The Dharma was thinking, no, nothing happens without Krishna's will. If I blame somebody else for my suffering, I'm just as responsible as the person who apparently caused it. So I will not. He never sees it and blames others. Knows that when I'm suffering now, that due to my own past misdeeds. And then, when he accepts that, then the Lord helps him within to eradicate. Although pain may be there, anxiety may be there, but gradually the devotee remembers the Lord and the mind becomes peaceful because Krishna's hand is there. And if Krishna is somehow involved, then if Krishna is there, then I know it's for my benefit. Let me accept it. And the mind will become peaceful. Krishna Bhakti Nishkama Atari Vashanta Bhukti Bhukti Siddhikami Sakari Vashanta. The devotee of Lord Krishna, he's Nishkama, he has no desires, material desires that he wants fulfilled. And therefore he can be peaceful, whereas those who desire bhukti, material opulence, mukti, liberation from suffering, siddhi, mystic yoga perfections, because they still have some desire that they want separate from Krishna's pleasure, therefore they are described to be kami. They still have lusty desires and they can never be peaceful. But if a devotee accepts whatever situation that Krishna has put in him as Krishna's arrangement, then he's peaceful. He can be peaceful. His mind can be undisturbed. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, how can there be any happiness if there's no peace? So when a Vaishnava actually gains this insight and realization that by full remembrance and dependence upon the Lord, then with that, because he's situated in Krishna consciousness and he understands the benefit of Krishna consciousness, he understands the benefit of giving it to others, And then with that mood of compassion, instead of thinking of his own suffering, he turns his attention to others who are suffering due to this one thing only, forgetfulness of Krishna. Then that's real Vaishnava. He turns his attention towards others. He's not concerned of his own, but he turns attention towards others and sees how others are suffering, but why are they suffering? One reason only. Prabhupada always emphasized this point. In the material world, everything, quoting Śrīla Bhakti-siddhānta, everything is here. You can have everything, but what is lacking the most is Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada, although he underwent many inconveniences prior to his trip on the Jaladuta, difficulties, hardships, but he was Vyavasiyatmakabuddhi. Vyavasiyatmakabuddhi ekeha kuru nandana. As Krishna describes, the intelligence of those who are, one who is
one-pointed.
Resolute in purpose, and their aim is one. Krishna says, they are resolute in purpose, and their aim is one. But the intelligence of those is many branched. They cannot be so resolute in their determination. And then Krishna explains, I think, what's the next? It's Bhogai Shvaya Pasaktanam Taya Prahata Chaitasam Yarasa Yavaka Buddhi Samadhal Navatiyate. The minds of those who are too much attached to sense and enjoyment and material opulence and who are bewildered by such things, then there can be no resolute determination to engage in devotional service. So Prabhupada was resolute. His aim was one. And his resolute determination is so very nicely described here. And his helpless and dependence on Krishna is so nicely described here in the song, Markani Bhagavad Dharma. So let us read the translation. My dear Lord Krishna, you were so kind upon this useless soul, but I do not know why you have brought me here. Now you can do whatever you like with me. I don't think the translation are in the book, so I have one translation here. So, but I guess you have some business here, otherwise why would you bring me to this terrible place? Someone would say, wait a minute. Papa got on the Jaladuti. No, but he's saying, why would you bring me here? You must have some purpose for me. He sees that Krishna put me here. Where did and the interesting thing is, where did Prabhupada leave from before he went there? Well, he was in Vrindavan. He was in Vrindavan, and, you know, someone may think that, you know, that Prabhupada had already undergone so many difficulties in his household or life, and then after leaving family life, he went through so many difficulties in trying to establish Krishna consciousness in India, so many hardships. He was in poverty, had no money, he was living in the Radha Damodar temple, didn't even have enough rupees to pay for the rent, and so he started publishing Bhakti Godhead magazine. He had to go out and he had to purchased the paper, and he wrote all the articles and printed them, and he would go into the printer, and sometimes the printer would say, but you haven't paid for the previous one. And Prabhupada was just preaching to him. And he was resolute in so many difficulties he had in establishing Krishna consciousness there. And then he wasn't getting adequate help from his god brothers. He approached different god brothers and asked them to please help fulfill the desire of our Guru Maharaj. He wanted books published in the English-speaking language. Not now. We tell him we have money, other books we have to publish. Obstacle after obstacle. This wasn't a smooth sail. It's one obstacle after the next. So still, he was thinking when he finally got to America, and he left Vrindavan, a place where he could have just, after all the difficulties he went, he could have just stayed in Vrindavan, engaged in bhajan, and his life would have been perfect. But he didn't consider that perfection because he had an order. And he, as far as he was concerned, that there was no question of perfecting his life without serving that order. And he considered that order was coming from spiritual master, coming from Krishna, and therefore he's thinking, Krishna, you brought me to this place. It wasn't, you brought me to this wonderful place in America. Many people think they come to America, but this is a wonderful place. Prabhupada didn't categorize it as, why did you bring me to this wonderful place? He said, why did you bring me to this terrible place? But you must have had a reason to bring me to this terrible place, as he's saying here. Most of the population here is covered by the material modes of ignorance and passion, absorbed in material life. They think themselves very happy and satisfied, and therefore they have no taste for transcendental message of Vasudeva. I do not know how they will be able to understand it. But I know your causeless mercy can make everything possible, because you are the most expert mystic. How will they understand the mellows of devotional service? Oh Lord, I'm simply praying for your mercy, so that I'll be able to convince them about your message. Prabhupada was thinking, how is it possible these Westerners are going to understand such a detailed and difficult to understand subject matter about bhakti? Bhakti is, it's not perceivable, as we were just talking about yesterday, how the Lord, doesn't see things from the external perspective. There is a transcendental relationship that exists between the devotee and the Lord that cannot be understood. It's a mystery to a non-devotee. Complete mystery. When they look at it, they may think, why would anybody voluntarily live in poverty? Why would anybody voluntarily accept inconveniences without any apparent material remuneration? That's a mystery to most people. They can't understand what motivates a person to accept austerity, live in poverty, no remuneration, voluntarily accept some inconvenience for apparently no external benefit whatsoever. A non-devotee who looks at that can't understand the kind of reciprocation a devotee is getting in his heart from Krishna. He thinks reciprocation means money in the bank account. But the Vaishnava thinks reciprocation is much greater wealth than that. Reciprocation is the peace we were talking about. The reciprocation that comes when Krishna is pleased by one's efforts, which is far greater than any pleasure of this material world. Pleasures of this material world have a beginning and end. Chapala sukha. What is that verse?
Vipala sevino.
Vipala sevino kripana dura jana chapala sukha lava lagire. Govinda Das describes it. Serve wicked, miserly men for simply some temporary flickering happiness, he describes. Govinda Das. So, so Prabhupada was saying, how will they understand the mellows of devotional service? He was thinking that it's not going to be by my effort. You can do it, but Krishna, but I depend on you. I can't. So he says that, oh Lord, I'm simply praying for your mercy so that I'll be able to convince them about your message. All living entities have become under the control of the illusory energy by your will. And therefore, if you like, by your will, they can also be released from the clutches of illusion. I wish, this is my favorite line. I wish that you may deliver them. Why was I say that? Because Prabhupada was actually talking about us. He's praying to Krishna. Here was a pure Vaishnava whose heart is just filled with compassion for suffering souls, and who controls Krishna by his love, undoubtedly. Otherwise, how was Prabhupada even be able to transform this planet in such a short period of time and impact so many people's lives and change so many people, not only then, but even now? This is not something that just happened from 1965 to 1977. It's continuing. People's lives are changing. In fact, one of the things I wanted to even read tonight, if I get to it, is I'll get to it. I'll tell you later. But Prabhupada was praying to Krishna, please deliver them. And we understand that, you know, we gave the example last night, you know, a pure Vaishnava, you know, he purchases Krishna with his love. And when somebody purchases Krishna, then because he purchased him and Krishna says, I belong to you because of your love, then if Krishna says, I belong to you, then that person has the prerogative to give him to somebody else because he possesses Krishna. That's the power of his devotion. So he's praying, okay, Krishna. He's purchased Krishna. He said, you deliver them. Therefore, if you so desire their deliverance, then only will they be able to understand your message. The words of Srimad Bhagavatam are your incarnation. And if a sober person repeatedly receives it with submissive oral reception, then he will be able to understand your message. He will become liberated from the influence of the modes of ignorance and passion, and thus all inauspicious things accumulated in the core of the heart will disappear. Prabhupada is referring to Shunvata Sakata Krishna Punyashavani Kirtana Vidyajisto Yapadani Vinanoti Suritsatam. As Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of God, is the super soul within the heart of every living being. He cleanses desire for material enjoyment from in the heart of that person who develops the urge to hear his message when properly heard and chanted. And Prabhupada is explaining the real purport of the Bhagavatam, that anybody who develops a desire to hear Krishna's message in Srimad Bhagavatam, then Krishna, from within the heart, will act in such a way to eradicate, to cleanse these obstacles on the path of devotional service from within the heart. He will become liberated from the influence of the modes of ignorance and passion, and thus all inauspicious things accumulated in the core of the heart will disappear. How will I make them understand this message of Krishna consciousness? I am very unfortunate, unqualified, and the most fallen. Therefore, I am seeking your benediction so that I can convince them, for I am powerless to do so on my own. Somehow or other, O Lord, you have brought me here to speak about you. Now, my Lord, it is up to you to make me a success or a failure as you like. Prabhupada's prayer. Whatever you like. If you want to make me a success, then you can do it. If you want to make me a failure, that's what you want, then you do it. Sometimes we may wonder, how should we pray? We think, well, certainly I should pray for success because it's for Krishna's pleasure. But Prabhupada said, no, whatever you want. If you want me to fail, then whatever you want. Of course, Prabhupada didn't fail. But all he wanted was Krishna's desire, Krishna's decision. So he said, you can make me a success or a failure as you like. O spiritual master of all the worlds, I can simply repeat your message. So if you like, you could make my power of speaking suitable for their understanding. Only by your causeless mercy will my words become pure. I'm sure that when this transcendental message penetrates their hearts, they will certainly feel engladdened and thus become liberated from all unhappy conditions of life. O Lord, I am just like a puppet in your hands. So if you brought me here to dance, then make me dance, make me dance. O Lord, make me dance as you like. I have no devotion, nor do I have any knowledge. I have strong faith in the holy name of Krishna. I have been designated as Bhaktivedanta, and now, if you like, you can fulfill the real purport of Bhaktivedanta. It doesn't have signed your insignificant paper. It's not here. It's an important part. It just ends. You can fulfill the real purport of Bhaktivedanta, but actually, underneath it says, signed your insignificant beggar.
I guess that's not part of the song.
It's not part of the song. No. So, anyways, let's chant this Marketing Bhagavad Gita, and then I'll reveal to you what I want you to read.
Thank you.
said I wanted to read something. Not much, but I've been reading these in a few places that I've been traveling to. And devotees like them. And although it's coming to a close, the month of December, in the places I had been reading them, it was around the end of November, the beginning of December, which is well known. It's the month that devotees, many places, dedicate their energies for increasing distribution of Srila Prabhupada's books. And some places, it's month of December, or the Prabhupada Marathon is very prominent. It's a tradition. It goes on every year. Devotees mobilize themselves, especially those devotees in the temple, devotees who are distributing books. They increase their time out, travel more, and minimize time spent in maintenance of the body and maximize the time spent with a mood of wanting to give this message that Prabhupada came to give to others. And devotees outside who are congregational members, they also try to give as much energy as they can possibly give, considering the other commitments that they have, to this effort by either taking books themselves and purchasing them and giving them to their friends, giving them to their colleagues and acquaintances, family members, or putting them in stores, smart boxes, putting them in hotels, drawers, people to read. And somehow or other, you never know what our person's life could change by getting the opportunity to come in contact with Srila Prabhupada's books. I often use myself as an example, personal testimony, that my first meeting with Prabhupada was Bhagavad Gita as it is in a bookstore. I thought I was buying a book on yoga in the yoga section of the bookstore. Although I had been reading all kinds of Eastern philosophy, I didn't really go with the best purpose to purchase Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita as it is. But yet somehow I purchased it, started gradually reading it, and then something happened. And I'm sure many of you also have your own personal testimony of what happens when Prabhupada prays to Krishna, let them hear your message. Basically, because not everybody can hear, as we understand, although Prabhupada was compassionate and wanted everyone. But Prabhupada said himself, and I remember when he said this, he says, when you're selling jewels, not everybody, genuine jewels, not everybody wants to pay the price. So, Prabhupada said, yes, people can sell some cheap imitation, and people are very eager to go on to purchase it because it doesn't cost so much, because it's imitation. But if you want to buy something genuine, you have to, there's a price. So not everybody was ready to pay the price, purchase Prabhupada's books, and anyone who got Prabhupada's book was not ready to read it and to invest their faith in Prabhupada's words, and therefore Prabhupada leaned over and said, even if you don't have faith that Krishna is speaking Bhagavad Gita, if you're going to read this book, just theoretically accept that Krishna is God and see what happens. Bending over a little bit. Knows the power of Krishna's words. Somebody who may theoretically accept that Krishna is God and the speaker of Bhagavad Gita is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, if he just sets aside his previous disposition and just tries to read, he may somehow, a little faith may be awakened in his heart. So, Prabhupada really, really emphasized during his physical presence the importance of giving those who are less fortunate the opportunity to come in contact with Krishna in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita as it is and in all of his books, with the hope that a sincere soul who is sincerely seeking for some meaning, some purpose to life, as Prabhupada explained, everybody here in this terrible place, they don't know the meaning and purpose of life. They're wasting their time in so many other worldly pursuits. The Prabhupada was so expert that he knew how to make the message understandable, because he prayed to Krishna, "Let me, please, you give my words some meaning and make them understand." And because of that intense prayer, Bhagavad Gita became understandable, even though there were grammatical errors in Bhagavad Gita. You know, somehow, right in the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada, in that one verse, that even though that the scriptures are imperfectly composed, still, and he, out of his humility, presented that, "I'm no scholar, I'm not qualified. These books are not perfectly composed, but somehow I'm simply following the order given to me by my spiritual master. And anyone who sincerely reads these books, then their hearts can change and it can create a revolution in the impious lives of a misdirected civilization," which is Prabhupada's revolutionary spirit. So, because of this importance of capturing that mood of trying to increase the distribution of Prabhupada's books and making others fortunate, I recently decided to read a collection. It's an exhaust, like a very large collection of letters that were written by people who got Prabhupada's books. And most of these letters were collected, all the letters were collected, actually, in Russia. They were sent to the BBT at different times. But because I visited Moscow, I go to Moscow so frequently, I would oftentimes go to the BBT, and whatever they had new letters, I would request them, "Can you give them to me?" And I would get some translated, or they would translate them and give them to me. And I gradually compiled a collection of letters. And they're quite profound, because they really so nicely illustrate what can Prabhupada's books do for someone. It's testimony, it's right there. Yeah. Sometimes we go out and devotees, they may feel a sense of futility. "Well, we've distributed so many books, you know." So, but where's everybody? But when you read these letters, you see, here they are. Here they are. And the things that they've written, and they're very stimulating to the heart. A lot of these letters were collected at the time when we really started to increase our distribution of books when communism fell. Not all of them, but a lot of them came at that time. And at that time, of course, it wasn't, just prior to that, it wasn't so easy to distribute books. But then when communism fell, then people were standing in line to buy them. And I even remember I remember going out in Moscow on the subways, because nobody at that time had any sense of whatsoever about advertising. There was no such thing as advertising in the Soviet Union. But because we were an international society, we got an idea, why don't we ride the crest of the wave, and why don't we do some advertising of Prabhupada's books? This is how the devotees in the BBT were thinking. So they, this is before there were no billboards. Yeah, you know, those were there. No billboards, no glitzy signs, no, just a few signs over the shops, you know. Clip, Malako. Just so we thought, the devotees in the BBT said, "Why don't we catch before everybody else catches on? Why don't we go for it? Shoot for the rhinoceros." So they negotiated some contract with both the metro, the subway system, and with the transportation, with the buses, and they made these signs, big signs for Prabhupada's books. And many of the buses had Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita on the side of the bus, and in all the subway stops in Moscow, there were big signs we had on the walls. We're the only advertising. There was nothing else. There's nothing else. The big sign. So the devotees, what they did is they would go out in the subways with tables, and they fill up the tables with books, and they stand in front of the sign. Point to the sign. And, you know, a book distribution meant the greatest amount of energy that we had to focus on was keeping people in line. Because they were just like storm the tables. And Prabhupada's books were going out like anything. And that went on for quite a few years, actually. And it was at that time that a lot of people started writing to the BBT. We set up the BBT. You remember Yogi Garanga? Were you around? You came later, huh? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, anyways, I have pictures. I went around with my camera and shot many pictures of devotees' book tables. But it's unfortunately, I only have a few of them now. I lost some of them. What it was like. Well, of course, distribution still continues to this day, but not the same methodology is not there, because if you go to Moscow, there's more advertisement there than probably any other city in the world. they really caught on to the mood in more ways than one. I mean, they're probably even more risque than advertising in America. But and to pay for that advertisement now was probably a lot more than what we were paying in 1991. So still many people wrote in. I used to have probably about 1,000 letters. Yeah, I don't have it now. Somehow, this is kept on a computer, and a lot of them, the files got corrupted. I maybe have a couple hundred left. But I started reading them. And as I said, some of them are from back then, some of them from other times. Most of them are from back then. And I wanted to just read a few. Although,
see what happens.
It's not easy to read a few. I have some favorites, but I especially like that one from the 8-year-old girl. Maybe I should start.
Yeah. Make sure we get that in.
I'll find it. Yeah, here's one from the 8-year-old girl. Very interesting. I'll let you guess who she's talking about. I won't disclose it right away. She says, "Hello, I want you to send me 6 books about that woman. If they are in Russian, then please send them. If not, maybe you have a dictionary for the book. Goodbye. I'm looking forward for the books. I wish you all good luck in passing out these books to the good people. If you have some new books about that woman, please let me know. I like her image, and her beauty is unsurpassed in society." You know who the woman is here?
Yes.
"Please give my sincere regards to all, for I know how difficult it is to send out these books." She didn't sign her name. Mm-hmm. There's another one. Oh, wait a minute, I picked up. Well, here's another one from 11-year-old girl. "My name is Olga, I'm 11. I received your postcard. I cannot send you money. My whole possession is 100 rubles. Please send me the cheapest book. My mother didn't allow me to order your books, but I write this letter secretly. I send you all the money I have. Please send me at least one book. I would beg from you on my knees, but I cannot see you. Sorry, I can't write anymore because my mother is coming." Anyways, here's some.
Mother works with KGB.
Huh? Mother works with KGB. "My name is Olga. I'm 11. Another Olga, 11. Oh, maybe it could be the same one. Just recently finished reading Krishna book, which I bought for the money from selling milk bottles. How can I join Krishna consciousness? If you want to make a test, I'm ready." And then she writes. She writes the answer to what she thinks the test might be. She said, "Krishna appeared in Mathura as the son of Vasudeva and Devaki, who were imprisoned by the envious demon Kamsa. But then he was brought to Gokula Vrindavan and changed with a girl born from Yasoda and Nanda Maharaj, who was actually Yogamaya, and Krishna lived there for many years. He killed many demons like Putana, Vatsasura, and Bakasura. Finally, he kills king of the demons Kamsa and stays in Mathura. But other demon Dhritarashtra constantly disturbs him. Thus he builds the fortress called Dwarka. Then Krishna gets the message from Queen Rukmini in which she asks Krishna to kidnap her. And Krishna kidnaps her right from the marriage ceremony. After that he kills the demon Bhamasura and delivers 16,000 queens who all become his wives. He expands himself into 16,000 forms of Krishna. And what happened after that? I'm eager to know." Friends, Hare Krishna, dear friends, kind and devoted, devotees of the Lord, I live in a small town and don't know a single person who is also a devotee. So there's only me and Bhagavad Gita. I bought the book by chance, just out of curiosity, and now I can't live without it. It is everything for me. My friend, my husband, my teacher, my helper, my consoler, my admiration, and surprises have no end. Hare Krishna." This is another one from Andre. "I write to you with hope. 2 years ago I ordered Bhagavad Gita from you. At first I put it aside without even reading. Then in 1 year I opened it again and now it's the most valuable thing I possess. Please send me more books." It's from Kazakhstan. Mm-hmm. This is a short letter. Please send me Bhagavad Gita. I'm 15 and I'm very unhappy. Maybe if you send me this book, my life will change. I'll be very grateful to you. With respect, Elena. Dear editors, you are my last hope. Nowhere else I can find any compassion and understanding. I read 5 books by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. I realized the goal of life and can't live the way I lived before. I can't even chant Maha Mantra out of fear to be heard by my neighbors. Believe me, I can't stand it anymore. I want to serve only Krishna and nobody else. Hare Krishna, the deterioration of the body does not mean death. The real death is separation from God. Therefore, those who take birth in this material world are dead. They're killed by eternal death. And only a few start looking for God, and out of them only a few are able to find. But these few people are alive. People are really alive. Hare Krishna. This is a letter from someone called Valentine. Please send me your spiritual literature, which will help me to realize things which are completely unknown to me now. It is so difficult to live with an empty soul, especially when one is 70 years old. Please help me take a deeper breath, fill my soul with some sense. With deep respect, Valentin. Hare Krishna, dear publishers, in May I received your reply to my letter in which I asked you to find a spiritual master for my son. While reading the book about Srila Prabhupada, tears of spiritual love to him were pouring out of my eyes. It was beyond all of my expectations. In other books, there's not much information about the spiritual master. I chant mantra for a year and a half, take prasad, and I read books. Hare Krishna. This is mostly just the family names here, so I'm not reading it. All glories to the Lord. I found your address. I would like to join your movement. By the mercy of the Lord, some months ago, one man knocked at my door and offered books to buy. I was happy to buy Bhagavad Gita, Science of Self-Realization, Krishna book, and teachings of Lord Chaitanya. I've read them, and now I'm reading them again. Finally, I found out who I am, what is the purpose of my life, and what this world is all about. I want to serve Sri Krishna, our Lord, with all my heart. It's another letter from Moscow. My eldest son is 29. When he was 20, he came back from the army with a mental disease and with a diseased soul. He's tall and very handsome, but such a misfortune. The doctors cannot offer the remedy. Perhaps only God can help. We bought the New Testament, but he was not much impressed by it. He said that he never met people who really follow the orders of God, the pure percent Christians, and all this is just talking. 3 years later, we met the devotees of Krishna, who were distributing books near our house. My son took an interest and brought home 3 very beautiful books. Now we have a small library about the spiritual world and religion. He began to read Bhagavad Gita, then gave it to me. I accepted the book with my mind and soul because it explained to me everything very clearly about the world and my life. Yes, it is the whole science about religion, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I believed in God immediately and felt ashamed for my spiritual poverty and ignorance. I regret the wasted years of my life which I spent without God. My mother says, what do you get out of this, Krishna? Take it out of your mind. How should I prove to her that for me Krishna is everything, everything that one can get by his good luck? I'm happy that I have him, that I can consider him to be mine, and he's more than I have, and I'm his part. I thank you with all my heart. This is just simply a segment of a letter. I thank you with all my heart. In my opinion, in this difficult time when people have no faith in God and anything secret, when everybody professes hypocrisy and indifference, you are making a miracle. You wake up people from their dream, giving them faith and hope. Hello, I'm not a member of Hare Krishna movement, yet I'm trying to realize the truth, to attain spiritual perfection, take up the path of devotional service of God. With this purpose, I am now studying the Christian literatures and consider Jesus Christ to be my spiritual master. And with the same purpose, I bought Bhagavad Gita, being attracted to it by some unknown force, and began my studies. For 2 years already, I haven't opened a single mundane book. For 1 year exactly, I've been keeping a vegetarian life, I live a pious family life, and never in my life have taken any intoxication or gamble. With the help of Bhagavad Gita, I follow all the four regulative principles of devotional service. Of course, it's not all smooth, lots of mistakes, sometimes fall downs, but the Lord grants me strength and conviction again and again. Recently, I managed to get 2 cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam, 3 volumes, and this book struck me with its perfection and magnificence. Up until this moment, I lived in Tula and had the opportunity to get a new coming volumes of Srimad Bhagavatam. But now, me and my wife graduated from the Teachers Training Institute and we went to work in a village. Thus, I lost all the opportunities to buy the new cantos of this Purana and decided to write to this address which mentioned these books. I'm confident that the Lord will help me and you will take my request into consideration. I'm begging you to please help me with respect. This is from Tambov. Recently I was presented with a book called Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. I read it. What a wonderful book. Lord Chaitanya, by his unlimited transcendental potencies, indeed Sri Chaitanya is Lord Krishna himself, bestows love of Krishna to all the living entities. His teachings are so perfect that I think any person after reading and studying it will get a desire to take up devotional service to Lord Krishna. For me, now it is of primary importance to fix myself in this process. And Srila Prabhupada certainly helps me in the form of his books. I have 2 of them, Perfection of Yoga and Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. In general, I am grateful to all the devotees of Krishna for they open the people's eyes so that they can see their real self, their position in this world. I have known about this religion, Krishna consciousness, for a long time already, but I never think of it deeply. But this summer changed everything. I visited a lecture given by the International Society of Krishna Consciousness and after some time realized that Krishna is the only goal in my life and will always be like that. Hare Krishna. Anyways, there's more. But that, I just wanted to give you a little glimpse. Like I said, because I have a lot of them. And my hope was, by reading these, obviously, is that if some of you feel so inclined somehow to take up and participate, I know Shankar Prabhu is always very eager to see that Prabhupada's books are distributed.
They have to be taken by the cases. We kept them in the temple room deliberately, so no one had to go downstairs to get them.
Uh-huh. Just see, I didn't even know he was already thinking that way. For tonight. Oh, they've already been there. If you feel so inspired to make somebody's life or to change somebody, the course of somebody's life and make somebody fortunate. I remember that Tamal Krishna Maharaj one time, I think it was in New York in 1978. He was telling me that the Prabhupada told him, he says, when you take care of others, Krishna takes care of you. And he said, Prabhupada told that to him, so he was sharing that with me. And if you turn one person towards Krishna, save one person from Vatirna Krishna Paratak Satopa. As Prahlad Maharaj says, that most people are making progress towards hellish conditions of life and repeatedly chewed. Their inclinations towards Krishna are never aroused either by their own efforts or by the efforts of others or by a combination of both. And he says, because of their uncontrolled senses, persons very much attached to the materialistic way of life, they make progress towards hellish conditions of life. So if we can change somebody's course in life, and then we become Dhyana Prabhupada and Dhyana Krishna, and that's what Prabhupada came to teach us by changing our lives. And he said, now that you've become fortunate, make others fortunate. So this is a very good way to make others fortunate, by giving someone opportunity to associate with Srila Prabhupada in his books. I told this story before, but it's one of my favorite stories because I personally experienced this. And it was a while back. I was traveling with Sridhar Maharaj. I told the story the other night. And Sridhar Maharaj and I were doing programs in people's homes and temples. We usually did about two programs a day. He would give one lecture and I would give the other. And we stopped in this city called Grand Rapids, Michigan. It's a very remote city. And it was the second program of the day, and Maharaj asked me to give the lecture there because it was at a devotee's home who used to be a devotee who lived in the Boston Temple, and I knew him. And he was married now. He was living in Grand Rapids at the time, but there was no... devotees wouldn't go there. There's nothing, hardly anything going on in the city. So he decided to put some posters up in the city, and he put the address of his home on the poster and invited people to come to his home for a lecture on Bhagavad Gita. So because we were a little bit late from the previous program, I came in and I immediately sat down chanting Jai Radha Madhava. And that was it. Chanted it maybe once and began speaking. And then after my talk, I asked, does anybody have any questions? And one boy immediately, I could tell he was waiting the whole lecture. He wanted to ask his question. He immediately put his hand up really fast. And so I called on him because he was the first to raise his hand. So he said, can you tell me, am I pronouncing this properly? And then he went, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So he said, is that the right way to pronounce it? So I said, yes, that's correct. Why do you ask? He said, because I still haven't heard anybody pronounce it. And he said he lifted up a magazine, Back to Godhead, and he said that I found this magazine sitting on a bus here in Grand Rapids, and I read it, and inside the magazine there was an advertisement to send away for beads, so he sent away for them, and then somebody sent him the beads along with a little booklet instructing how to use the beads. And he said, I've learned from the booklet that you're supposed to chant each, and he held up these beads. He said, you're supposed to chant each one of these beads, the whole mantra, and then you're supposed to do that 16 times. He said, I've been doing it for the last 10 years every day.
Wow.
But I never met anybody or heard anything about how it was properly pronounced, so I just was guessing that this is how you pronounce this mantra. They said, therefore I was asking you, why have I been pronouncing it correctly? So I said, yeah, of course, immediately sat down and spoke to him. The devotee, his name was Murari Krishna. He's shocked. He didn't know. And Prabhupada said, he said, these books are like torpedoes. You never know where they're going to land. And I thought this was a perfect example. You know, here's somebody who's been chanting 16 rounds a day for 10 years, never met a devotee. And this is, there's many other stories, but that's one of my favorites. Somehow somebody's life can change. Of course, from that point on, you know, we sat and we talked to him, and he met the devotees whom we visited and who continued to cultivate him. I don't know what happened to him later because we left and we went someplace else. But Murari Krishna was definitely keeping in touch with him, hoping that maybe there might be some association finally in Grand Rapids, Michigan, with this person. So, that's just one example. And so if you feel so inclined to stop and give somebody a book, or to give them to your friends, or to your colleagues at work, or to set up some smart boxes, or like different stores or shops, and put Prabhupada's books there. This is becoming very popular in many places. Devotees are doing it. We have in Boston, I think we had, how many? I think there was 75 smart boxes. They have something like that. And in Boston, mostly by smart boxes and doing events and putting up tables and things like that, they made a commitment, the devotees, that in 2010, they made a commitment at the beginning of the year to distribute 10,000 books in 2010. So they just, when I was there, they gave the results. They distributed 10,260 books like this in 2010. And they asked me, so can you set our goals for 2011? So I said, well, if you 10,000 in 2010, why not 11,000 in 2011? So that's their goal for 2011. Just by putting books in smart boxes, and they go out also. One devotee, with a few devotees, they go in the evening, sometimes on the weekends, and go door to door and approach people in their homes and try to give them Prabhupada's books. So I've read these letters so that you can understand that these distribution of these books is, there's fruit. There's fruit. So in that respect, I think we'll end. But we'd like to, today also we're giving initiation to one devotee who is very dedicated to this service. And is he here? Okay. Where's Jean Claude? Yes. There's not going to be any formal fire sacrifice or initiation, but we'll let you, in the presence of Shishi Vaidhata, take your vows. And when there's a fire sacrifice next in Canada, you can sit on the fire sacrifice. And Srila Prabhupada is very pleased by your intense desire to distribute his books, and hopefully now we'll be able to encourage and inspire others also to participate in this most important mission.
This is Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's garland from his disappearance day, which was up to Srila Prabhupada, which I'll offer to you and ask if you'd kindly offer it to Jean Claude Prabhu.
Okay. I'll give it to him when I give his beads. Give his beads. Oh, no, actually, I should give these first. Bag you gave it to me, so I still have. You want to keep it? Oh, All right, so what vows are you accepting today?
I vow to chant a minimum of 16 rounds of Mahamantra on the mountains. I vow to follow the four regulative principles, which are, I will not eat meat, which include eggs. I will not engage in illicit sex. I will not do any gambling. And I will not take any intoxication.
Thank you very much. So, on behalf of Srila Prabhupada and Guru Parampara, we accept him today as an initiated disciple. And we have given you the name Jai Sachi Nandan Das.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes.